Okay, welcome back to YSR and the Big E Sports Show. A quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at E Radio Sports. And if you happen to miss a particular interview, hey, you want to go to yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. You can check out and listen to some of our biggest and our very best interviews. Well, right now, we are going to shift gears, and we're now going to focus our attention on the World Cup 2014, a sporting event that has truly captivated and united the globe like no other. It is such a pleasure to welcome in this evening best-selling author, New York Times sports columnist George Vesey, who has released his new book. It is titled 8 World Cups, My Journey Through the Beauty and the Dark Side of Soccer. Good evening, George. How are you?
Good evening. Nice to talk to the legendary basketball player and broadcaster.
I don't know about legendary. Maybe in my own mind I am. But talk to me about the 2014, the World Cup. It is underway. We've certainly been looking forward to your perspective as the soccer world and fans have descended in on Brazil. And I know I want to share with our listeners tonight, George, you have covered soccer for 30 years as a reporter and as a columnist for the New York Times. What are your expectations from the World Cup? And in your opinion, what teams are likely to advance?
My expectation are, I hope that the love of soccer that's in the hearts of the Brazilian people will match some of the political protests that are legitimate. People have a right to do that, and I just hope that it continues to be, that it will be a good World Cup for people down there. They love the sport. The team has a 5-star logo on its jersey and on its caps, and that comes from having won 5 World Cups. So they are way ahead of any other nation, and they love the sport. They love their music. And I just hope that the mood continues where they can enjoy being Brazil.
Well, there are certainly very big expectations from Brazil. So strong offense and defense. But were you surprised? Let's talk about the U.S., soccer manager. I mean, him being, you know, saying that unrealistic that the U.S. could win the World Cup. What was your thought on that?
Well, you as an athlete, I'm just wondering what you would have thought if your coach had said, I don't think we're going to beat Texas.
Oh, that would certainly serve as a great motivator.
We're not going to win the big, what was it, Big 12 in those days? You know,
no, I was actually a Big 8 girl. So.
Big 8, there you go. So, you know, you'd kind of roll your eyes and say, you know, what does coach think about us, mm-hmm. if that's what they're saying? But usually coaches have, and you know this from being in the business, that coaches have their 6 favorite cliches to cover that. To say, we know we're up against a good opponent, we're going to do our best, we have a game plan, our guys are... All of that stuff. Klinsmann should have dropped in one of those, and he just didn't do it. But who doesn't forget to say something? Who doesn't blank out? You say the most important part of it, which is, and he's right, realistically, the United States is not going to win the World Cup now or, you know, 4 years from now or 8 years from now. We're just not in that chain yet. But he just didn't temper it enough. He's a smart guy. He speaks English very well. He's German. He lives in the United States. It just was brain freeze on his part to not add one of the cliches.
Okay, so Klinsmann, he makes quite a headline, but what is your belief in terms of him? Do you think that the U.S., that they can at least make a deep run? You're saying that perhaps they can't win at all, but...
No, I don't think they can. They're not in the usual suspect class yet. There's 6 or 8 teams that will be in the semifinals. Some of them will stink in any given year. I mean, Italy and England stunk 4 years ago in South Africa. You never know. But now Spain has joined that inner circle. You can always count on Italy having muscle memory, Argentina, Brazil, and then the team that I'm going to pick to win, which is Germany, because mm-hmm. I think they've been on a roll. They've been getting better since Klinsmann coached them in 2006. Then his assistant, Joachim Löw, has been coaching them ever since, and they're a good squad. They've got a great attitude, and I think they're strong-minded enough, and you know, and people know what it's like to win on the road. You've got to blinker out a lot of the stuff. I think Germany is psychologically able to blinker out the protests and the love that Brazilians have for their own team. I think Germany is strong enough to win the World Cup.
Okay, we're going one-on-one with George Vesey. He is an author, sports columnist with the New York Times. In just a moment, we are going to be previewing his new book that is out, 8 World Cups, My Journey Through the Beauty and the Dark Side of Soccer. So obviously your favorite is Germany. Talk to us about the group that they'll be competing against. What, it's Portugal as well?
Right. The United States starts with Ghana. It's a very tough opponent because it knocked the United States out in the last 2 World Cups. And people know that. That doesn't mean the players won't compete. theoretically, the United States is better than Ghana, but there is that memory, and they've got six or seven players who play in the Champions League, which the United States doesn't have, meaning they're high quality. Then the U.S. goes against Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo, just a terrific player, and the third game is against Germany. That's where it gets interesting. If the United States needs a point, let's say, a draw, just to get through into the next round to get past the other two teams, and will Germany put out its best team? Will Germany? Of course, Germany's second string is very good, so that may not even apply. But it's a tough group. It's called the group of death, and for the right reasons. And I think the United States is just going to have too much trouble to get out of it.
Okay, so George, on our program each and every week, I mean, we cover a ton of, you know, college football, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. Talk to us about, in terms of just how, why soccer is the world favorite sport. Help us understand that.
I mean, demonstrably by the numbers, it is. Somebody said that the number of people who watch the World Cup draw is seven times higher. This is around the world. Than the number that watch the Super Bowl around the world, which, of course, starts with the United States. There's a huge number of fans around the world who love the sport, who know it, who care about it, and the United States is a little bit late getting into the party, but we have so many great sports in our country. I would never say to anybody, give up the sport that you love or played or this or that so you can be a soccer fan. It has to come naturally because of cable. Because of the internet, because of the electronic games that kids play, the new generation or generations know more about soccer than my generation. The old crusty sports writer that used to say, "Oh, nobody cares about soccer because they don't use their hands." You know, one of the best sports writers that I know in my time has always said, "Because they don't, you know, it's just a cockamamie theory." Because when you see how great these athletes are, the things that you could do, and still can, I understand, put the ball in from 15, 20 feet out. You're doing it with your hands. These people can do with their feet, not necessarily in a basket, but a man can, or our wonderful women teams, they can put a ball on a teammate's feet from 15, 20 yards away at full speed in an impromptu, oh, my teammate's open, I'll give the ball to her, and she'll advance it so much further. That's the way it's done, on the fly, and that's the beauty of the sport.
Give us the pulse on soccer in terms of how it is growing in popularity in the United States. I mean, you're talking about what, you know, record attendances at MLS matches.
Well, the MLS is doing fine. It's outlasted the old North American Soccer League. It's got about 16 teams now, going toward 20. They're growing it slowly. The salaries are finally rising. They're getting good players to come from overseas. All of the above. They're doing a fine job. The U.S. is not producing the kind of the Michael Jordan, the feral star who played in the playground, who played against other guys his own size, his own age. We're not getting those the genius, but we are certainly getting terrific athletes who love the game, and some of them even play. People categorize soccer. It's either a hooligan sport on one hand, or it's a suburban sport on the other, but you can't have it both ways. The U.S. has players that play like poor kids. Clint Dempsey, who's from East Texas, grew up in near the border of Louisiana, playing out in the dusty streets with Mexican kids, lived in a trailer. He plays with a poor boy's intensity and desire. I love to see it. We just need more Clint Dempseys and more Claudio Reynas and Tab Ramoses that we had in the last generation. And the U.S. can move forward, but it's not easy. The rest of the world is out there.
Okay, George Vesey, author, sports columnist with the New York Times, is joining us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Let's move ahead, George. Let's talk about the new book that you've just released, 8 World Cups, My Journey Through the Beauty and Dark Side of Soccer. You've covered a total of 8 World Cups. Is there one in particular that stands out the most to you?
You know what a parent says? I love all my kids the same.
Okay, yeah.
But the first one in this case, because it was Barcelona, because I saw Brazil, Argentina, and Italy in the same group, wandered around Barcelona, saw the Brazilian fans roaming around, I would put that down as my first. And, you know, we all know what the phrase first love means. You always remember your first love.
Okay, George Vesey has been with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And tell all of our listeners, George, where they can go and get a copy of the book.
They can get it anywhere. I believe in bookstores. Wherever there's a bookstore, you go in and ask, and they can get it for you. I'm told that there's a company that also sells books online and will mail it to you. That's nice, too, but Without bookstores, we're all poor, so I say go buy it from your local bookstore.
Okay, the one thing I have to mention to you as we get ready to wrap up our interview is women's soccer. Of course, I think back to 99, Brandi Chastain and Mia Hamm and Julie Fowde. I mean, that was just an incredible run for women's soccer. You want to add something on that, too?
I appreciate you saying that, and I did allude to it a little bit earlier about women. Those women taught America. One of the chapter titles in my book is called America Wins the World Cup, or USA Wins the World Cup. And I'm talking about the 99ers. We're talking about the team of Christine Lilly and just these great personalities.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how the United States, it's like the founding fathers, how you ever got so many people into one group at one time. Not only great players, but great personalities. Just the best and the brightest that an entire generation could. And they won. They won an epic playoff with China in the finals in the Rose Bowl. Packed Bill Clinton and his retinue, tying up traffic all the way out into Pasadena. It was a wonderful event, and those women taught us a lesson. And some of my male friends say, oh, I don't like to watch women's soccer. It's not as powerful. It's not as fast. Those women were terrific. And Christine Lilly, playing her position, doing the right thing, the role player, guarding the post on a free kick, bounces it away, saves the ball. Brandi Chastain goes down on one hand, clears the ball with her feet, and then later wins it with a penalty kick. Those women all contributed to it. If we talk about American champ, it was one of the great national teams the U.S. has ever produced, and I give them plenty of respect in this book. They had to be in this book.
And it was an incredible attendance, too, over 90,000 fans at the Rose Bowl.
It was just an amazing day. I was there. I knew those players. And afterward, to go and when we're interviewing Christine Lilly outside the locker room, and somebody says, "Lil, what a great play! Imagine you were there to stop the penalty kick from a free kick." And she said, "No, that's my job. That's what Tony taught us to do. That's my position. I did it right." She wouldn't take any credit.
Keep this an open invitation. We want you back, and we talk some more about your book. Okay, George?
Always a pleasure talking to the Big E.
All right. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.